Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. I think we've said the required number of times of Southern Oregon for this half hour. Mm-hmm. This month, Maureen is back with some representatives of 4-H in Jackson County. It's an organization that teaches a lot of skills to young people with an interest in agriculture, but it is not limited to farming and farm skills, and not by a long shot. Our guests, Lena Hoskins, Jackson County 4-H coordinator. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Deb Brown is here as well. She is a goat, rabbit, and bee farmer and a 4-H advisor and currently on sabbatical from a faculty position at Southern Oregon University. Deb Brown, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Maureen Flanagan Battistella, always good to have you back as well.
Hi, Jeff.
So, Lena, tell us about you're not in this job for terribly long now. Your predecessor was the director of 4-H in Jackson County for 33 years. Was there any trepidation about stepping into the job?
Absolutely. It is well known across the country that there is no way that a new person can fill another person's shoes. So I'm doing the best that I can, especially from not being from the region. And so it really has given me an opportunity, though, to reach out and get to know folks and what makes the Rogue Valley so special.
For the people who are thinking, well, I remember the 4-H kids from my high school, but I never hung out with them or something. I mean, for the people who don't know the program, fill in the gap there. Let them know what it's about.
Oh, sure. So 4-H is a positive youth development organization. So nationally, we have over 6 million kids and probably just as many volunteers. Our philosophy is to engage kids in hands-on learning that gives them a chance to make mistakes, learn from each other, and develop important life skills. And they do this all with the help of caring adults. And we have some fabulous volunteers here in the Rogue Valley.
And for the folks who don't know it, there's a pledge, my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. So head, heart, hands, and health.
That's right.
Those are the 4-H's.
Yes, they are. Exactly. We ask the kids to say that pledge at the beginning of every meeting. And that's because we want them to remind them that they need to use their head for critical thinking. They need to use their heart for caring for others. They need to use their hands to be able to learn, because of course we're all about hands-on learning. So, you know, learn. And then their health for better livings. Of course, you need to make healthy choices. And what kind of healthy choices do you need to make? Think about that, because we want you to be a contributing member of society.
So it's a lot more. I mean, there's a lot more involved in 4-H than just like raising livestock.
Oh, yes. We offer almost every project area under the sun. And so whatever an adult or a youth can dream up, we can find curriculum on it. And so that's the, I think, the awesome thing about 4-H is that it's based out of land-grant universities throughout the United States. And so a lot of us are developing curriculum, and it's all research-based. And then we hand that over to volunteers, and we say, here. You know, here's the best principles in youth development education, and also here's all the facts about that you need about poultry or aerospace or rocketry that you know nothing about, but kids do. And you know, we can help you with that. You don't have to be an expert in it to volunteer and help these kids.
So that's interesting, but when you mentioned the land-grant university, so it's really part of the extension function.
Oh, yes, it is. And in every state, it's always part of extension 4-H youth development is. Mm-hmm.
So let's meet Deb Brown here, because I'm going to take a wild guess. You were a 4-H kid?
I was, mm-hmm. Yes, here in the Valley in Jackson County 4-H.
You're from here originally?
Moved here when I was young, yeah, mm-hmm. From California.
And what was it ever a question of getting into 4-H? Was it something you would have done anyway? I mean, did other people in your family do it?
No, actually, my brother did join. Actually, he did beekeeping in 4-H. Back then, we had more of a beekeeping community here. But I wanted to raise rabbits. So somebody had given me a rabbit, and I didn't know what to do with it. And so my parents called the 4-H office and got me enrolled in a rabbit club.
All right. So your parents kind of had to struggle around to figure out what 4-H was for themselves, it
yeah.
sounds like.
Mm-hmm. And people do that here, too. You know, mm-hmm. we get a lot of calls from people who had never been in 4-H and other calls from people who had been and want that for their kids as well.
So that is one thing that comes through loud and clear from various interviews I've read, that this is not just about farm stuff by a long shot. So you don't have to live on a farm, have anything to do with a farm to get into 4-H.
No, mm-hmm. you don't at all. My kids, we've always lived in suburbia. Mm-hmm. So, and they have done 4-H ever since they've been 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so you can do foods, you can do You can do sewing, you can do gardening, but I mean, there's Legos. Also, yeah, I was just going to say, Lego robotics. I mean, we have a lot of science, different areas, our science and technology, computers. I was going to say,
Public speaking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And our leadership. We have a really wonderful leadership program, and these kids speak at different kinds of events. They run their own 4-H residential overnight camp, and it's led by youth. And so we develop a lot of leaders through 4-H.
I noticed the previous 4-H coordinator for Jackson County talking about the fact that there is often some confusion about 4-H and FFA. Which is hardly ever called Future Farmers of America anymore, but there's some overlap in what they do, but they're not the same program.
No, they're not. FFA really takes, I think we get our kids all excited in 4-H, and they really get interested in agriculture, you know, and farming, and they're like, whoa, I want to maybe do this as a career, right? I find this so fascinating that I want to really dive in even deeper. And then that's where, in high school, they can join FFA, and then that way they can take classes on it every single day, and they've got the trained teachers there to really expose them to all the wonderful topics in current, you know, agricultural practices. And it just takes them to the next level.
So 4-H is the browsing and FFA is the commitment? Something like that?
Many people do both.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
for sure.
I did both.
I was going to ask you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did both. I like to say also that kids, you know, we do prepare kids in 4-H for the FFA programs, but I also think that there's room in kids' lives for both. They offer different kinds of activities. And so I encourage, in my 4-H club, I also mentor FFA kids as well, because there's not as much hands-on learning, really, that happens with the small animal projects in FFA. So in my rabbit club, FFA members are welcome to come and learn the skills that if they hadn't been in 4-H as younger kids, they wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So they can work together as well.
Let's talk about those rabbits, because they're so beautiful. And every year you have a rabbit festival here in Ashland. There's lots of people here in Ashland who are part of 4-H and part of that program.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I really love about the Rabbit Project, is that kids who don't live out on farms or with property can actually, you know, some of the kids keep a rabbit in their bedrooms or their garage or out on their front porch. So there's something that can be raised in town without a lot of expense. So, we have, I think my club's up to 35 youth right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When is the Rabbit Day?
Here in Ashland, it's going to be the day before Easter at Northwest Nature Shop, April 10th. So we'll be there from 11 to 3 with all sorts of animals, but the rabbits are the stars. So
and you can pet them, right?
Oh,
and
yes. Hold
them.
They can pet rabbits.
Oh, they're
so
soft.
The kids will be there to tell all about their projects. Yeah. We try to get out and let the kids meet the public as often as possible. We just did an event at the Manor and had my club there meeting residents and teaching them all about the rabbits.
So did they get the great. Did the Manor residents get to pet the rabbits?
They
too?
Did, of course.
That was a big hit.
Yeah, it was.
This is Stories of Southern Oregon on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Deb Brown, who is a former 4-H'er and a 4-H advisor now, leads some of the programs. She's on the faculty at Southern Oregon University. Lena Hoskins is the Jackson County 4-H coordinator. And, of course, we have Maureen Flanagan Battistella back with us, who compiles Stories of Southern Oregon. Visit with us, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to get a little further into the rabbit. What was the attraction for you? And it sounds like if you're going to raise an animal as a starter, rabbits are pretty easy.
Yes.
In terms of reproduction, the space taken up, the sounds made, the smells.
You would think so. You would think so. But when you're trying to breed rabbits, it's actually not always that easy. But for me, a neighbor gave me a rabbit. So I was just enthralled. So I didn't know that there were show rabbits and that there was a difference. And I learned that in 4-H. So I joined a club. I learned all about caring for and raising rabbits. Left 4-H, you know, when I graduated from high school, went off to college, came back, and my son joined the same 4-H club that I had been in with the same leader, Lenore Gebhard, who was her family still has a ranch in Sam's Valley, hay ranch and cattle ranch. And she was my leader, and we did everything, rabbits, horticulture, cooking, all sorts of things through her community club. And so now I co-led with her until she passed, and then I've taken over the same club. Yeah. So the Hop to It Gems, same rabbit club I belonged to as a child. The Gems stands for Gold Hill, Eagle Point, Medford, and Sam's Valley. Oh. You didn't know that, Lena?
No, I didn't know that. I just thought it was an adorable name.
No, so we kept it because I was part of the group that named that little tag on. So, yeah.
Now,
that
rabbits are kind of like an entry-level animal, right?
They can
it
be,
kind of
sure.
scales up in terms of it size, did. Complexity, cost, expense, but also return on investment, right?
Absolutely. Actually, rabbits have the best return on investment because really, if a child raises market rabbits and there's very little investment, but if they make it to the livestock auction, they get far more than the market value on a pen of rabbits. So,
what do you mean auction? What do you mean auction?
Oh, well, part of the 4-H program is a junior livestock auction. Mm-hmm. So in many of the livestock projects, kids raise a project and then they can sell it at our auction. And so, yeah, as an entry, a gateway animal, rabbits can get kids involved in larger livestock. Mm-hmm. My own kids did that. They showed rabbits first and then went on to goats, hogs, sheep, and beef.
So in this context, the rabbits are livestock. They're being sold for meat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, no.
Not necessarily.
Okay. No, believe me. I tell my kids all the time in my club.
Not here in Ashland.
rabbits serve many, many functions. So people raise rabbits mostly for meat and fur. So the kids have to know that, even if their rabbit is a beloved pet and would never be eaten, right? Mm-hmm. And certain breeds are raised for meat. They're commercial breeds. So that's what I raise. I have a commercial operation where I produce meat rabbits, but they're all of show quality as well. So I help kids get going with projects, whether they want to show rabbits just as a hobby or if they want to go into meat production. Rabbits go for a lot of money right now. I just looked at the grocery store, $23 for a fryer.
Wow,
like a 3-pound rabbit, $23.
That was my next question. As a food source, why don't they seem to catch on? I mean, why is it still something of a specialty thing with a high price on it?
Well, they do in France. If you go to France, some of the best rabbit you'll ever eat.
Le Pen.
yes. But here, really, they're a labor-intensive project. So whereas chickens can be automated. Rabbits, I have my water system automated, but you can't automate the breeding, the care of the young rabbits or the feeding of rabbits. So they're hands-on intensive livestock to raise. I mainly raise them for the manure because it's so desirable for a garden.
Yeah. It's good fertilizer because
it's the best.
All digested cellulose and stuff. Oh, Lena, this is tell us more.
Exactly. So, of course, poultry is a very popular project that can also be done, within city limits, depending if you have enough, but you just need a little bit of outdoor space. With talking about manure, of course, I mean, poultry manure, which makes a fabulous compost, that requires effort and skill, and another year for
time.
And time for it to develop. And so if 4-H'ers want to be able to sell it, they have to be able to have the patience to be able to make it right. But not that rabbit.
No.
Nope. It's ready right away.
My daughter actually, from the time she was in about seventh grade on, she sold her rabbit manure. And by the time she left for college, she had about $14,000 saved up to do study abroad. So she...
$14,000 from selling rabbit manure?
Rabbit manure and her rabbit project. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And she raised other livestock, but the most profitable for her was the rabbit manure. She would deliver... She went to St. Mary's High School. Before school, every day she would deliver buckets of manure to people's gardens, and
it works.
Entrepreneur, sure.
She was.
Lena, talk about trends then, because I find myself thinking about the fact that we've not that we've reached a point in history, we've kind of been at this point for decades or actually centuries now, where we're pushing out into areas that used to be farmland. So there are fewer families involved in farming now, but then you've also got the parallel issue of the fact that, as you mentioned, people are sometimes growing chickens in urban backyards now. So what's been the trend in 4-H participation in recent years?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think it really depends upon your geographical region, and it also depends upon your volunteer base. Our volunteer base, we have a lot of wonderful experts in the large animal livestock area. areas. And so in our area, that's still the trend, I would say. You know, kids are really interested in that. We are reaching out to the urban population more, where, you know, families, they're in the apartment, you know, the single family homes and things like that. And so we are getting more people who are interested in, I want to learn about gardening and I want to learn about foods and nutrition and I want to learn about the backyard poultry. And I think that's really going to take off. I just need to talk to my 4-H'ers a little bit more about doing some more public demonstrations, but they're kind of on board with that. We had one young lady actually come to the county fair this year. She did a demonstration in our pageant pavilion on poultry, and those families were excited, mm-hmm. and I'm excited. I think that's going to be a huge area of growth.
You mentioned 6 million 4-H'ers around the country. How many in Jackson County?
So in Jackson County, we have at least 650 club members. Mm-hmm. Now, 4-H can be 4-H is more than just the club. So we run after-school programs, school enrichment, camps, conferences and leadership retreats, things like that. And so if you want to total how many kids we actually reach, we probably reach over 2,000 kids. But we have at least 650 dedicated club members who pour their heart and soul into their project every year. And then we have at least 250 volunteers. But that's not enough. I mean, I want more. I want more adults and kids. But the kids need the mentorship from the adults. It's a partnership. And that's what makes 4-H so special, is that we really try to have the kids lead their project area. And then we have a caring adult alongside of them. And so I just need some more caring adults.
So Deb Brown, you're kind of like the training wheels then as an advisor.
Yes, absolutely.
We can start up some more rabbit clubs, right, Deb?
We would love to do that at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm the only rabbit club. I'm also the superintendent for the rabbit project. I would love to have more leaders. I would help anybody who wanted to get started.
Yeah, you just need an interest. You do not need to be an expert.
Yeah. Let me remind people we're talking about, this is Stories of Southern Oregon here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Lena Hoskins, Jackson County's 4-H coordinator. Deb Brown is an advisor, leader of some of the programs on the faculty, but on sabbatical at SOU. And of course, Maureen Flanagan Battistella back with us. And Maureen, you wanted to bring up a point?
Yeah, so I'm involved in two areas of 4-H that every year just create like total excitement and total energy. And one of them is hands-on Ag Day, where you see hundreds and hundreds of kids come through. And the other is the annual fair. You referred to Pageant Pavilion before. Can you talk about those two experiences from a kid's point of view?
No.
From an adult's point of view, who had not been 4-H, it was just like amazing.
Well, thank you. 4-H puts on an annual field trip for fourth graders in the Valley. And we make sure that we have a variety of different animals. It's all about,
learning.
It's all about getting
touching
kids. Yep, you're right, exactly.
Smelling it.
Mm-hmm. Really seeing like, oh, this is a food source. This is our agriculture up close. Because a lot of kids, they don't see that. They don't see the cows and they don't see the sheep out in the pastures. They're way out in the outskirts. And so we try to bring them in. So that way the kids can see them and get excited and inspired by that. And we make sure that there's lots of activities. And then, of course, there's our county fair. So where we try to have lots of animals there.
Yeah,
Deb Brown, since you've been with this for so long, give us a sense, because I know we're talking to a few vegetarians here who are getting a little cheesy about us talking about rabbits.
Oh, sure,
for example.
Sure.
So talk about how I mean, because it's not, you know, if you don't grow up on a farm,
sure.
You're not used to the idea that, you know, animals are there to be consumed at some point.
Right.
How work kids into that proposition? Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, you know, it's interesting because I even in my classes I teach here, I often mention, you know, raising rabbits and that sort of thing. And, you know, I always preface it with, if you're a vegetarian, I get your qualms about eating animals. But what we're seeing is that most families in the Valley especially are not vegetarians, but they still don't have a connection to where their food comes from. So, you know, I want kids to know that their food doesn't come wrapped in saran wrap from Costco or Food for Less, right? I mean, yes, it does, but it has a whole trajectory
before that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And through 4-H, we teach them, even if they choose not to eat the meat themselves. My daughter was a vegetarian for several years, raising beef. And
she raised beef, but was not.
She was
vegetarian.
She was Oregon's beef ambassador, and then a national beef ambassador, and then she began eating beef again. she was a teenager, but even in that case, you still need to know how to responsibly raise an animal so that it has a really great life. 4-H raised animals are some of the best quality meat around. And so that's one reason our junior livestock auction is so well supported. People really want – they know that the kids have really poured a lot of love and effort into raising their animals. So
there's more than just raising the animal, though. When you go to an auction or you go to a competition, the kids know what makes a strong animal, mm-hmm. strong, healthy animal, and they can describe every aspect of that animal to you. Mm-hmm. It's the understanding and articulation is amazing. The way you are teaching kids, mm-hmm. it's just such. Go, guys.
Maureen, before we go, and we're down to our last minute here, I want to ask you about, because I noticed that the Stories of Southern Oregon's website has gone through a bit of a transition. So you're going big on Women's History Month at Stories of Southern Oregon. Tell us about a couple of key anniversaries being observed and how you're observing them.
Oh, thanks very much. Yes, we did do a website takeover for March for the early part of 2020, which is the Year of the Woman and the Centennial of Suffrage. Thanks to a grant from the Oregon Heritage Commission, we're collecting the stories of second wave feminists here in the Valley, 70s and 80s women. And we're also holding women's events throughout the Valley to celebrate Women's History Month in March 2020. Key among those is an on-campus art exhibit, an on-campus spoken word exhibit, and March 15th, a day of women's history at the Ashland Public Library. Thank you.
March 15th, day of women's history at the Ashland Public Library. Okay. All kinds of things we find out by listening to the Stories of Southern Oregon, compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella, who you just heard, who creates all this stuff for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive at Southern Oregon University. This month's guests are Lena Hoskins, who's the 4-H coordinator for Jackson County. Deb Brown is a 4-H advisor, longtime 4-H member, program leader, faculty member at SOU. We should point out that Lena is a faculty member at Oregon State University to complete the whole circle of higher education with the farms. Right. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks to our guests and thanks to you for listening. Back for hour two in just a few moments.